You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, and editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Here with you all on this Thursday, the day the Pelicans take on the Spurs. A big game. They're going for a lot of things with this win tonight. I'll preview that in the third segment. In the first segment, we're kind of just going to hit a grab bag of topics here. There have been some roster moves. We've got kind of an update on them in the clutch a little bit, how they've been playing there. Kind of just look at a few different things on this slower-ish news day here in New Orleans. Then I'm going to take the second segment to answer a question or two that listeners sent in on Twitter at NolaJake yesterday, because there was one that was kind of interesting, actually, and I want to touch on that as well. So we got all of that and maybe a little bit more here in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So yesterday it came out that the Pelicans were not re-signing Walter Lemon Jr. to a rest of the season deal. He had signed two 10-day contracts with the Pelicans, so was with the team for five games, shot 43.8% from the field. He shot, where is it? He made his 1 2-pointer that he took. So currently is tied for the league lead on the team with 3-point percentage with 100. But averaged just 3.4 points per game in his limited time there, and that's in seven minutes per game that he played. So nothing fancy. We kind of figured this with the Pelicans being very close to the hard cap, the luxury tax area, they're not going to do anything that might push them in there. Signing him could have gotten them even closer to that, limits future flexibility. And frankly, he just didn't show enough to really warrant being signed for the rest of the season. His one main ability was he's quick, he could get to the rim, but you saw him struggle to finish at the rim against NBA players. So, you know, we had him for a little bit, didn't work out, that's okay. And basically at this point, any Pelicans that get signed for the rest of the season out of the D-League or to a 10-day contract are there just to be bodies in case of injury, there for practice. No one's necessarily going to be expected to contribute, especially this late in the year, trying to get into the system. And then maybe you get a little lucky, you find a Bryce Dejan Jones, you find a Tim Frazier, who does play well in limited minutes that you can sign to a cheap deal next year to round out the roster. Well, the Pelicans are still doing just that, and they have found their replacement for Walter Lemon Jr., and that's going to be in Larry Drew II. His dad, Larry Drew, is a former NBA player and is currently the associate head coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers, former head coach of the Hawks and of the Bucks. So this guy who's kind of got basketball in his family. Larry Drew II's played, you might remember the name actually, is with Pelicans in Summer League back in 2015. He's played about a handful of games in the NBA, 15 during his career, where he's averaged 3.2 points and 3.1 assists. So, you know, a bit of a ball distributor there, 6'2 guard. He spent most of his time in the G League this year, all of his time in the G League this year with Sioux Falls Skyforce. He's averaged 11.7 points and 7.5 assists in 35 games. So, look, he's not, you know, particularly great. It's worth a chance. He's 28 years old. You know, there's no huge upside here, just like there won't be for anyone they signed the rest of the way. I think even getting Emeka Okafor when they did was a bit of a, you know, reach at the time, and no one saw this coming. We, again, just all assumed it'd be a body, and that simply can be a good thing. But welcome your newest Pelican, Larry Drew II, and we'll see what he can do. You know, they have a need for some more quality guard minutes, particularly with Etuan Moore not playing as well as he has did to start the year. And after the All-Star break, his shooting's kind of dropped some. We'll take a look at that maybe later next week at some point. You could get a guy, he could step in and play kind of that guard minutes because they need something like that. Would definitely be a good thing for the Pels to get out of him. So before we hit the next segment here, I want to mention something that John Schumann of he's the advanced stats writer for NBA.com posted, which was really interesting, I thought. And it talks about the Pelicans in the clutch, and they've had the biggest clutch winning percentage increase. So clutch games are games that are within five, within the last 5 minutes of the game. So basically games that go down to the wire, and you can leave clutch time, of course, as you go on. But, you know, close game within the last 5 minutes, basically within 5 points, the Pelicans have actually had the second most games. 41 of them have gone to clutch time out of 67 that they've played so far this year. They're 26-15 in those games. That's very, very good. And it puts them with a huge difference in those type of games. So 26-15, that's a 63.4 win percentage. Last year, 44 of their games were close games like that, where they were 17-27, so 38.6 winning percentage. It's a difference of 24.8, let's round up, 25% increase in, you know, everything from that, which put the Pelicans one of the better ones in the league this year. So definitely good to see them closing out games better. That's been a problem in years past. You saw Jrue Holiday step up and become very clutch in the win the other night over the Charlotte Hornets, where he hit those, what, like 8 points, 9 points, something like that. That was very needed. So it's good to see this team kind of getting, and I think this speaks to their mentality this year, how it's been a little bit different at times, that they do think they can win games, they feel comfortable closing out games, and they feel confident more than anything else that these games aren't going to get away from them. So good numbers to see. Thanks to John for posting those on Twitter. I have to encourage you a little bit as the Pelicans hit this tough part of the schedule that they can try and fight through all of that. Don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com. We've got a ton of content up this week looking at the Pelicans' pace of play, talking about how Anthony Davis has stepped up this year. That's also a great thing. And then we've also got articles about the MVP race, how this is similar back to 07-08 with Chris Paul finishing second. Maybe Anthony Davis finishes second there. And we're just taking a look at all different things with your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. So make sure you check out LockedOnPelicans.com daily. So I said yesterday on Twitter when I was planning to do the podcast and everything and setting this all up that I might have some time in here to take some questions, do a mailbag. And I think this is, I got a few interesting ones. So we're going to start with the hypothetical ones, of course. And this comes from Matt_Pop88 and goes, what will it take for the Pelicans to attain the 3-6 seed? And then what's the best matchup? Well, you got to win more than you lose, frankly, and that's going to put you in the 3-6 seed because this team does control their own destiny as of right now. That can change because they're on the inside of the playoffs, not the out. But the schedule gets tough. You need to find some rest for these guys and try and get a blowout or two in there over these next couple of games, particularly the homestand, to try and get some rest to have you fresher for the next game because it's going to get really difficult right now. I think best matchup's probably Portland if they can somehow get them. If it's a 4-5 type situation, I think that would be ideal for the Pels, or a 3-6 if Portland gets that 3 seed. That's a good matchup. The Pels have played them well this year. The Spurs somehow get in and the Pels get matched up against them, I think they would take that. And then, you know, I know a lot of people have said Minnesota. I disagree given that Minnesota swept them this year. But without Jimmy Butler, he might be back by then. Who really knows? That could be a good matchup, but that's one that I'm not really going to be banking on. So there's another interesting question I thought that was out there. And this comes from solo_B_ballin with B-A-L-L-I-N. With Boogie out, would you agree that Gentry has no excuse to make the playoffs since he finally has the fast-paced roster he wanted to? So no excuse to not make the playoffs, I'm thinking here. It's kind of what you meant. So look, there's no excuse no matter what. And Boogie out, no Boogie out. I think at this point, the 10-game winning streak erased any kind of excuses for the team. And let me tell you why. So look, you could easily say if they don't make the playoffs, but they finish with a plus 500 record, above 500 record, that you could say, well, look, the West was just really tough. We're without Boogie. The schedule kind of worked out against us. Alvin Gentry should be back. And that makes a lot of sense, particularly because they're playing very good basketball right now. The defense is turned around even with Boogie. So you can kind of see all of this working out that even if they don't make the playoffs, Alvin Gentry comes back. But I don't think that's the case, because look at that 10-game winning streak. Look at how they played. And then remember those games, those losses to the Sacramento Kings at home, to the Dallas Mavericks at home. Some of those losses that this team should not have had that could potentially keep you out of the playoffs. And if those are the losses that do it, you have to look at Alvin Gentry and this team and say, what the hell happened there? Why did those losses that shouldn't have happened been the things that keep you out versus losing to a good team late in the playoffs? Drop those very winnable games because you guys didn't care, they weren't coached up properly, what have you. And I think to me, that erases any sort of excuse for them. You have excuses built in. Again, West is stupidly tough right now, and you're right in the mix of it. You're without your second best player on the team, but you played well despite all of that. So clearly, that's not an excuse to not make the playoffs because you rattled off 10 straight wins without him. You can get through all of that. It's the stuff earlier, the energy, the effort that we've talked about. Do the Pelicans give a damn? And when I talk about the Spurs game, that's going to be one of the things we say. Do they care? Do they want this more than the Spurs tonight? They do. They should probably win. That's kind of, if you were to do keys to the game, should be one of them. And, you know, so you have these losses that are very inexplicable, almost inexcusable, that could potentially keep you out of the playoffs. And those alone are reasons to be fired. You know, it's one thing to do that when you're a much better team and you're beating other teams. But when you're kind of at the time hovering around 500, no, that's not what you can kind of do. Those up and down, remember you win two, lose two, win two, lose two, win one, lose one, win one, lose one, that the Pelicans went through where they could not stay far away from 500 all year, come back to bite you. And that's a very big thing here. And I think that's a reason why there's no excuses anymore. So before we talk about the Spurs game tonight, make sure you listen to Locked On NBA Monday through Friday, only podcast giving you like a 25-minute rundown of what happened in the league the night before, previewing that night's games, and then talking about the biggest topics. And as a bonus, I co-host the Wednesday edition along with John Corrales of Locked On Celtics, so make sure you subscribe to Locked On NBA. So the Pelicans take on the San Antonio Spurs tonight, a team they are 2-0 against this year as they go for a third straight victory for the first time ever against this franchise. And a win tonight would also give them the season series and thus the tiebreaker, which could be important. And also the second tiebreaker is playing against teams kind of in this group that are trying to make the playoffs. So that's also important. So you just want to win these type of games and get as many tiebreakers as you can. The Pelicans, again, 2-0 and have won in dominant fashion here in New Orleans, and then a 17-15-point comeback, something like that, double-digit comeback against the Spurs on the road in San Antonio last time that they played. So you have to kind of feel good about the Pelicans going into this matchup. The Spurs are 38-30, currently sitting outside of the playoff race, which is just wild to kind of say, or they're tied for eight, but they're out. And they're kind of having a down season, and yet despite having a down season, they're still eight games above 500, so it kind of tells you enough. They've lost 11 of 16 since February, so you can see they really do need Kawhi Leonard, who was expected to return against New Orleans tonight, but turns out won't be returning tonight against New Orleans, so the Pelicans get an injury break on their side for probably the first time maybe ever. The Spurs don't like to play with a fast pace, so the Pelicans need to dictate tempo in this one and get this up and get as many possessions as possible. The Spurs play with a pace of right around 97, second slowest in the league. The Pels played with a pace against Charlotte, and again, if you need to know what pace means or the importance of it or why the Pelicans are doing it to kind of keep themselves winning, check out LockedOnPelicans.com. I got an article up there that I shared and linked around yesterday, which was pretty cool. And we also talked about it on Monday's podcast, so make sure you understand that. Those early shots on the shot clock that have a higher percentage of going in against non-set defenses, basically. Pels play basically right now about 10 possessions per game quicker than the Spurs do. Get them into kind of a style and an up-tempo game that they are not comfortable with. It's also a good way to get Anthony Davis scoring. LaMarcus Aldridge usually does a very good job defending him. His length bothers AD. He's got enough athleticism to kind of keep up with him, and he's solid around the rim. He kind of keeps AD quiet. You can get Anthony Davis going early on in transition when he's not matched up against Aldridge because you're pushing the pace and the tempo. That's a very good idea. The Spurs have the second best defense in the league because they can get back and get set, and it's hard to exploit mismatches, and they're smart about switching and what they do. Can't do any of that in transition because you're just trying to put a body on a man whenever you can. So I think that's really the key to this one, along with trying to neutralize Aldridge as much as possible. Because as we said, he is pretty good against AD going back to Portland and a guy that kind of gives him fits a little bit. You know, the Spurs are going to not shoot a ton of threes. They want to get into the rim, get into the paint and get at the rim and score that way. If you can kind of funnel them into AD and Okafor, that really does make a difference. Anthony Davis, something we're going to talk about maybe tomorrow. He's been a monster defensively recently, an absolute monster. We know this with the blocks, but it's everything else. The boards he's been grabbing at times are just fantastic and great defensively, what this team needs. Make these guards in, you know, on the Spurs here, Tony Parker, who comes off the bench, Danny Green, don't let him open from three. Murray, if you can funnel him in, those guys will struggle against Anthony Davis and Emeka Okafor, and that's how you could easily win this game. To do that, though, as we've talked about, do the Pelicans give a damn? You know, the Spurs team had a big, big win over Orlando on Tuesday night, so they're not dead and buried yet. They're going to come out firing and try and win this one, knowing that if they want to make the playoffs, not giving up the tiebreaker just yet, these two teams play one more time, is very important. So they're going to come out and play tough. The Pelicans need to play tough as well and want this one more. Just because they're 2-0 against this team doesn't mean that they're going to just kind of steamroll them and get a victory. You've actually got to try. And if the Pelicans can do that, I think we're going to feel pretty good about them winning this game. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game. Hopefully the Pels can get a win, but no matter what, I will be here to recap it for you guys tomorrow. Maybe talk a little bit about Anthony Davis and the defense he's been playing as well, because he has been tremendous over these past 13 games now. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.